Let's look together at John chapter 12. I want us to begin at verse 12 and read through verse 19. The next day, when I read that, I want to go back and ask, well, why does he associate it with what just happened? Why does he make it known to us that this is the very next day? Do you recall with me what just happened? Do you recall with me that there was a supper in his honor? And that was in Bethany where Lazarus lived and died and lived again. And do you remember what took place there? That as they were together, Mary came to him and poured out this expensive perfume. And do you remember why she did what she did? And as I begin to, I hope, better understand why John writes what he does and what it's all about, it would appear to me that Mary may be one of the only ones that really understands what Jesus is doing here. And she anoints him, and Jesus makes it clear that she anoints him for his burial. And now, John lets us know, the very next day, what happens? The great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. If you go back into 11, you'll discover that at Jerusalem, they were preparing for the Passover, the highlight of the year. They were preparing for the Passover. And that some of them would come early and they would go through their ceremonial cleansings to prepare themselves for the celebration of the Passover. And they wondered, is Jesus coming? And they asked each other and they were wondering whether he would show up. That's a legitimate question. The Sanhedrin had put a price on his head, and the religious leaders of the day were out to kill him. Is he going to show up? What's going to happen? And you can imagine that there's a particular excitement and buzz in the air as they come to this celebratory time, and there's this Jesus on the horizon, and they want to know about it. And so this crowd hears Jesus is coming. Now, I want you to kind of get into this scenario with me. And I want you to hear the conversation of the people in the pew next to you. Man, did you hear? He's coming. No, he's not. Yeah, he is. Well, didn't Sanhedrin say, didn't they want us to tell him if he was coming so they could, you know, what do they want? They're probably going to kill him. You think he's not really going to come? They'll kill him. He won't do it. Every other time he snuck away, he's not going to come. Do you think he? No, I heard it. I tell you, it's a good source. Somebody I can trust. They know it. Can you imagine yourselves there with excitement that this is finally going to happen? The Messiah is here. Well, hang on, because they don't really understand, but they partially understand or something. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. They go out there and they're just praising this guy. The word they use, Hosanna, save us. But it really was, it had become more than just a, would you please save us, to a, he's here, save us. And it was more, it had grown into this announcement that he's actually here. The cry was still there, I think, but there was a celebration that it really is going to happen. I confess I was a little bit excited when I sat down for lunch at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon and turned on the television and saw that the score was 31-21 and the team I like was winning and it was nearly over. That's my favorite time. I like those kinds of games where it's pretty much in the bag. Well, I think that's kind of the expectation here. It's in the bag. He's here. It's Passover. It's coming to pass. Is he coming? Yes, he's coming. And they go out to meet him with their palm branches and they cry from the Old Testament, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Now, before I go farther, let me tell you something. They had no clue what they were celebrating. No clue. They were clueless. See, what they thought, they had this Roman oppression. You know what the Passover's about? Do you remember the original Passover? By the way, this is about to be the last one. Do you know what the original one was? It's when they were enslaved in Egypt and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And so God strikes down the firstborn. But before he does that, he tells them to sacrifice a lamb and cover their doorway with the blood of the lamb and get ready to go. And he sets them free. Duh. It's Roman oppression. He's here. He's going to set us free once again. Just like he did in Egypt, he's going to do it today. He's going to do it through Christ. Christ is here. He's going to set us free. This guy raised Lazarus from the dead. I wonder what he's going to do in Jerusalem. This is going to be good. You don't want to miss this Passover, Kevin. You want to be at this one. Can you imagine? And so they come to the Passover. They come out from Jerusalem. They come to meet Jesus. And they're excited. But they think this guy's going to be a political leader. And they think he's going to use his magic powers to wipe out the Roman oppression and to reestablish the Jewish rule. Is that going to happen? Not the way they think it is. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion, Jerusalem. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Now, if he were coming to establish an earthly kingdom, he would have come on a war horse, clothed in majesty and splendor, and with his sword in hand, to pronounce his judgment on Rome and say, "I am here and I have come to conquer." But instead, he comes on a donkey, which, understand, is an animal symbolic of the word peace. He comes to bring peace. Doesn't look like a political leader to me, does it to you? He comes to bring peace on a donkey's colt. By the way, those are both Old Testament passages that said Jesus was going to come, the Messiah was going to come, and Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures. Verse 16, I love this. You ever feel confused about the scriptures when you read them? Are there any passages that still trouble your mind? Do you have any questions for the Lord when you get to heaven and say, "Lord, why did you include that?" You're in good company. These guys have been to seminary with Jesus as their master teacher for some 3 years. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. What is wrong with these guys? Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Wouldn't you love to have been with the disciples after Jesus was resurrected and glorified? Do you guys, somebody came up with it, it's probably Peter, and he said, "Do you remember when Jesus marched into Jerusalem? Remember all those people came out with those palm branches and they were crying out from the Old Testament? And we were just kind of standing around scratching our heads, trying to figure out what in the world was going on in front of us." You know what Jesus was doing? Well, hang on, we'll get to that in a little bit. But anyway, that's what's happening here, and they didn't understand it till later. Verse 17, "Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word." I'll bet they did. I will bet they did. They watched Jesus stand at the tomb and ask the stone to be rolled away, and they watched Jesus cry out to a dead man who had been in the tomb 4 days and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And they thought all kinds of things just like you and I would have. And they watched Lazarus walk out of that tomb and they went, "Oh my word." Or as Michael would say, "Oh my word." It's all one word for him. And they just were amazed. They just were amazed at what God had done. And so they followed Jesus, and they also told people, and that's how word, I think, got around in Jerusalem that Jesus was coming. People were there. They were following Jesus. "Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him, they continued to spread the word." Verse 18, "Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" Mixed reviews. Do you guys have a website you go to check on movies? You know, you can kind of get reviews. You can find out, fortunately, what kind of language is in there, what kind of stuff you want to avoid. They also have all kinds of reviews that tell you it's good or bad. You can get anything you want to hear about any movie, I do believe. and you can get all kinds of reviews. I think the same is true if you watch Jesus in this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I think you could get any review you wanted. You could go to the crowd that came out from Jerusalem and say, "Hey guys, what did you just see? Oh man, Rome's fixing to fall, man. Did you not know that? The Jews are going to be lifted up and they're going to rule again. Did you know that? Where did you get that? Well, you know, the Old Testament Passover, they were set free from Egypt. This Jesus is coming. He got Lazarus out of the grave and raised him up from the dead. And man, I don't know what's fixing to happen, but holy cow, can you imagine what he's fixing to do to those Roman rulers? He's going to wipe them out. You know, he raised Lazarus. Maybe he'll just say something and all the Roman guards will fall dead. I don't know, but something's fixing to happen." Well, was he talking about an earthly? Oh, yes, an earthly kingdom, just like in the old days. We're fixing to rise to power once again. You don't want to be against us, Bubba. You want to be on our team. And you might get something of the same story from those who watched him raise Lazarus from the dead. What about the disciples? Wonder what they would tell you. Wonder if there was fear. I don't know, because the text doesn't tell us other than they didn't understand. This morning I was sitting in the chair in the corner of our bedroom reading, and I heard that little chirp that comes when the battery goes dead in one of the smoke detectors. I had a clue that something was going on because Zacchaeus, our little terrier, was looking for a way under the bed. He, for some reason, that scares him to death. He's afraid of that little chirp because he doesn't have a clue what it means. Even when I replaced the battery, he still didn't care. He still sat there and shook because he was afraid. The disciples, I don't know what you would hear from them if you interviewed them about what they just saw. I'm not sure what review they would give you, at least initially, because the text tells us they didn't understand. So they might go, "I don't know. Well, what has happened? I'm not sure. We don't know why he came back here. He kept avoiding it earlier. He wouldn't come into Jerusalem because they were out to kill him. Frankly, I'm a little bit nervous for Jesus. And I'm not sure what's going to happen to him. Maybe he's going to set something up." But he had told them in John 10 what he had come to do. They should have had an idea of what it was about. You really want to understand? Ask the Pharisees, religious leaders of the day. Ask them. What was this all about? Well, just like we told you, if you let this guy go on, he's going to have all kind of people following after him. And then you know what's going to happen? Rome's finally going to get enough of us. And what little power we have over the Jewish nation, we're about to lose. That's what's happening here. It's not going to be pretty. I don't like it. I'm about to lose my authority in the nation of the Jews. But if you really want the scoop, you need to ask Jesus. And as I look at what Jesus did the next day after what Mary did for him back in Bethany, I'll tell you why he came to Jerusalem. He came to die. It was now time. Back in chapter 11, verse 54, when he was confronted with angry men who wanted to take his life, he avoided them repeatedly in the Gospel of John. He does that. And 11:54 lets it be known because it's not time yet. It's not time yet. You read the Gospel of John and you begin to discover that Jesus did his daddy's will. And that's it. Daddy, is it time yet? No. And so Jesus came to die now because it was time. It was the Passover. Understand that Josephus writes that possibly, even probably, on this very day as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, they were bringing the lambs for slaughter. Now, so that you get a little bit of an idea, Josephus records, he was a Jewish historian, he records that there was a count at 1 year, 256,000 some odd sheep. So I want you to envision this, okay? You're standing there with palm branches. You're all excited. Jesus is coming in on this donkey, and there may be sheep all over the place. Bah, bah, everywhere. And he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Do you understand that the Passover is all about the Lamb? Isn't this awesome? They didn't get it. His own disciples didn't get it. What's that noise I hear? Bah! Do you guys not understand what that's about? It's the Passover. These lambs are going to be sacrificed. And into the heart of that rides the spotless Lamb of God. The Passover Lamb. Not one of 256,000 some odd sheep, but the Passover Lamb rides into Jerusalem on an instrument of peace. Do you know why? He came to die because it was now time, because it was the Passover and he was the Passover Lamb. He came to die because he was the Prince of Peace. Romans 5. Read the first couple of verses there in Romans 5. Just make a little note in your bulletin and read that later. Therefore, since we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Passover Lamb who brings peace with Almighty God. In His coming, He redefines what it means to be a king. The King. They had one view. He had another. But in my mind, I still can't help but ask this question. It's my father's fault. He's the philosopher. And so I still ask the question, why, Jesus, did you do this? Why did you do such a grandiose entrance into Jerusalem? It really wasn't what they thought. It was much greater. But He did allow them to do all that they did. I don't see an exuberant, over-enthusiastic Jesus. In one sense, I see Him gently riding in on an instrument of peace. And yet He allowed all of this pomp and circumstance. Jesus, You have avoided Jerusalem. Why didn't You just kind of sneak in there? I think He's declaring who He really is. They didn't get it. But He uses the people and their pomp and circumstance to broad stroke a greater picture than what they see. They see an earthly king, but what they don't see is the King of Kings, the King of Peace. And I also think something else is happening here. Jesus knows what Jerusalem is all about. He came to die, and He uses the people to begin the wheels to turn and to incite the Jewish leadership of the day. He knows that He's to die. And so He uses these people to raise the awareness of who He is and to incite the religious leaders of the day so that His death would come. Imagine that for a moment with me. Imagine that you knew in a few days you would die. You knew that's why you came to Jerusalem. Would you be excited about making that happen, helping that to happen, encouraging that? I think that's what Jesus is doing. He was doing it in fulfillment of His Father's will, recorded in Zechariah, recorded in Psalm 118. He's fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures with regards to the Messiah. He came to die, and He was willing. I can't hardly get past that. Nobody forced Him to ride. Nobody forced Him to re-enter Jerusalem. But He did. He was willing, and He had already been anointed by one Mary in Bethany. So what do we do with this? He came to die. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, accept Him. Realize who He is and why He came. Realize that He did come to die because there was no other way of salvation. Realize that you cannot be good enough to get into heaven. Realize you can't have good enough parents to get you into heaven. Realize you can't earn enough money to get into heaven. Bill Gates can't buy his way in, nor can you. Jesus came to Jerusalem to die, and the only way that you will ever get to spend eternity with God in heaven is through Him. You have to admit your sin to Him and accept Him as Savior, your Savior. He went into Jerusalem that day for me and for you. Accept Him. Second thing I want you to do, those of you who already have accepted Christ and know Him as Savior, I want you to admire Him. I want you to have a fresh idea in your mind of who this Passover Lamb is. I want you to see the incredible grace of our Lord Christ as He gently enters to be slaughtered, to give up His life willingly for you and me. I want you to sing as you sing Sunday after Sunday and admire Him. I want you to praise Him when you're going down the road. I want you to remember all that He chose to go through on your behalf, on my behalf. I want you to admire Him as the sacrificial Lamb of God. I want you to hear Him above all the bleating sheep in Jerusalem that day. And I want you to understand why He went. And then finally, I want you to ask Him. See, when I watch Christ, who is God in human flesh, when I watch Him masterfully enter into Jerusalem as the triumphal entry, what I see is I see Him use these people who are ignorant of His real intent. They don't understand who He really is. They have a concept, but it's not the right one. They don't understand why He came. They don't understand that He really did come to conquer and bring peace, but not how they thought He would. And if He can do that with this crowd and with these Pharisees to accomplish His purposes, I ask you, is there anything too great for Him to accomplish in your life? Are there some crowds in your world that He might use? Are there some Pharisees in your world that He might use? Are there some opportunities on the horizon in your life that He can govern? See, I want you to see the splendor of Christ as He rides on that donkey into Jerusalem. And I want you to get on your knees before Him. And I want you to ask Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I want you to ask Him to work. If He can use these people to accomplish His purposes in coming to Jerusalem to die, do you think He can use us on the Impact Project over this next week? How high are your expectations of this Christ? Do you see Him for who He really is? Or do you settle for a complacent attitude toward the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you see what He does here? Do you think He can do anything today? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do you think He might do in Chapin this week as we minister to this man and that community? What can He do at your job? What are you dreaming about with this King? What can He do in your home, in your family? Is there anything too great for this King who spoke into that tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth"? Now see, what I want to hear is not a ho-hum, complacent attitude. We ought to be way more excited than that crowd. Way more excited than those people who came running out. He's cool. You and I know what He did. You and I know that He can do even greater things today. So are you asking Him? Some of you are, because some of you have shared a few of the things that you're asking God for. Pray on. Accept Him, admire Him, and ask Him. He's awesome. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You were willing to do what You did.